What's up, everybody? Daryl Frater, the club CEO here, and we have another amazing episode of the My DJ Story podcast brought to you by the Club App, the number one online community for DJs where you can stream for free and not get cut off. Today, we have my brother, South Paul. He's going to tell us about his DJ story. Brother, can you please introduce yourself? Tell the people who you are and where you're from.
Yeah, sure. So my name is Aaron. I go by Southpaw, and I am based out of Baltimore. So I'm repping the Mid-Atlantic hard.
Awesome, man. Super excited to have you on the My DJ Story podcast. Let's start from the very beginning. You know, what got you interested in DJing, and tell us about how you got started?
Oh, that's good, because those are two very specific points in the timeline, because there's a point where I got interested and there's a point where I started. So I got to rewind the clock back to like 2011. I used to work at like Apple Store, so I was hanging out with a bunch of homies there. And I had a friend of mine who was a producer. He was getting into DJing, and I actually managed him for like about a year and a half, maybe. Like, we had made a whole collective, but it wasn't just his music. It was music, it was production, it was graphic design, it was all these things in like 2012. And then he was a tractor DJ, so I would just like mess around on the like, was that the Mark One S4, that like first one that they put out. And I sucked at it. I was terrible at it. I knew the music, but I couldn't physically mix it. And then from there, we fast forward to December of 2016 maybe. And I had been going to shows here in Baltimore. I'd been shooting shows as a photographer, spending a lot of time with the community here. And a lot of people were asking when I was gonna start DJing or if I had an interest in doing it, and I'd always pass it off. And I made a Facebook status right before Christmas time saying, for New Year's, I'm going to challenge myself to learn how to DJ. And I didn't do it. It was like mid-January, and then someone hit me up and it was like, yo, are you serious about doing that? And I felt so bad that I immediately went on Facebook Marketplace, found the Mark II tractor at the time, bought that, and then after work for about like 3 months straight, 6 hours a day, 5 days a week, I was on YouTube, I was on SoundCloud, I was on Bandcamp, I was on Beatport pulling things to barely get my first bit of music and just mixing through and through and through. So that's how I got started. From 2011 to 2016 was me getting interested, and I started in 2016.
Nice, man. That's a super interesting story, and it shows that how you can go from a spark to actually taking action, and just whatever way you can fit it in, whatever way you can get started, no matter how long it takes you, you just get started and you really start walking in your purpose and your passion in music and in DJing. And it's super interesting, you know, that just how you had that relationship with the one DJ, and then it kind of just went from there in regards to your interest and then moving into it as well. You know, talk to us about, you know, after you got started in 2016, where did it go from there?
I'd be lying if I said that it stayed low and slow, because it definitely shot off, especially in Baltimore. But what was that? Yes, yeah, so like January 2016, not maybe like a month after that, I was at one of our most like well-known spots in Baltimore called The Crown. It's this Korean barbecue, a Korean fusion restaurant that's got three different venues in it, like three different spaces to perform and throw shows at the same time. And I had a friend of mine in this room called the Blue Room, because they're just color, they're all colored. And she was going out for a cigarette on a party that she was throwing. And she just said, hey, hold it down for like 15 minutes while I go smoke this cigarette. And it wasn't my equipment, it wasn't my music, it wasn't my crowd. And lo and behold, an hour later, when she finally comes back, I'm still on the table, like still on the decks, party's absolutely jumping. And I'm just like, I'm holding it down, like whenever you're ready. And that's been my motto kind of like thenceforth. But maybe a month after that, she asked me to join the party, which was called Searching for Something. And we ran that party consistently. We picked up a total of, what's that, three other artists. So we had five people in Searching for Something at a point in time. And we just took over that spot. We would start doing gigs outside of the places in the city. We did a couple of DC spots. We did a Brooklyn. We did like Brooklyn during like Pride weekend on a rooftop in like Bed-Stuy. And that was one of the like highlights of us doing everything. And at a certain point, me and my boy Arjun, who is now like my main like co-runner with the party, we actually got the party off of my friend Keezy, who was the one that originated it. And now we've been just throwing that show and traveling and working as four DJs, now three DJs inside one collective that operate as separate DJs but come together to do this event, because we really like house music, we really like dance parties, and there's not a lot of people that do just like dance music, house music focused parties as much as I'd like to. And now we've started to see that turnaround so that it's not old heads throwing house parties. It's, you know, young heads throwing house parties and old heads coming to like see what's going on and young heads going to house parties that old heads are putting on to really keep the community like moving. So it's not just sitting stagnant.
Wow. That's truthfully amazing, man. And I like how you mentioned, you know, community and the way that you're diversifying the community and not just keeping it stagnant. And I think that's super important when you want to grow. You know, if you want things to move forward, you can't just do things the old ways where, you know, you have this set pool of people and those are the people that rock the party. If you are trying to grow and expand, you got to add a mix of diversity. And it seems like you figured out a cool system that makes it super exciting, man. How did you kind of get to this point where you just see opportunity and are able to turn it into something special? Because not a lot of people have that eye or that mindset. You know, talk to me about how you were able to develop this, because this is a key, you know, part of how people become successful in this industry.
I would say first and foremost, DJing was not the first thing that I did. Like I also like that, like a couple things, like DJing wasn't the first thing that I did. It was technically photo work. Like I was a photographer for a long time. I still am, but like I'm the kind of person that needs to connect with people. So I'm a member of the communities first. I'm a, you know, an active participant in second, and then I'm a creator of, you know, spaces for community almost third, and they all become kind of the same thing. But the goal was always authentically become a member of the community to understand the way that things are working, so that when I decide to do something, it's never seen as taking space from somebody else. It's always I'm looking for pockets and I'm filling pockets that aren't being filled by people. But that goes down to the whole like, yeah, I'm the right kind of creative that got told they were gifted at a young age, never really ran with it because they knew they were smart and they wanted to really learn how to be smart effectively. And then I went off to school. I didn't go to school for music. I didn't go to school for business. I went to school for like communication theory. So I learned the like how to articulate ideas to people, and me being musically inclined from my childhood allowed me to be the person with a really great playlist that can find out how to send some sort of message through the playlist to people that are listening to it. And that just translates into the mixing, where the song selection for mixes becomes part of the what's the energy that we're trying to provide, what's the soundtrack for what we're doing, and how is it going to bring people into a space to feel comfortable together from whatever walks of life that got them to that door.
Wow, that's super amazing, man. And the way you go about your process of thinking through just the effect that you have on people through music is truthfully amazing. And you spoke about storytelling and are able to do it through your DJing. And, you know, when you have that mindset, you really have a unique impact on people where you're not just playing music. You're providing an experience that is changing their lives in the moments that you're working with them and playing those music for them at these parties, events, and what have you. So super amazing. I think you're really dropping some amazing gems on the people that are listening. A lot of people that are listening are people that either are looking to get started in the DJ industry or they're currently in it and want to take their game to the next level. And I think that you just unlocked some really dope potential in some people now that their ideas are rolling and they're trying to figure out how do I think on this level to understand the psychology of DJing and how to use my craft as something to help people in unique ways. And I think you figured it out. You know, I like to talk about, you know, your branding, Southpaw. Tell me a little bit about how you got the name and what does that mean for you and your brand?
So what is it? So Southpaw is, and for the record, so that everyone can understand, it's pronounced Southpaw like a left-handed pitcher. It's spelled with a V because Southpaw with a U was taken, obviously. The Gmail was open though. That's when I knew I had to keep it. When the Gmail was open, no underscores, no periods. I'm like, I gotta keep this name. It's mine now. But I could say I went through so many times where I was gonna have like an edgy name because I came up like, you know, trap was big. So the V's, the X's, the like alternate spellings of things was kind of a thing. So there's a dash of that. And then really it's just the fact that I'm actually left-handed. So I'm legitimately a left-handed person who found a name within the namesake. And that just kind of became the more palatable, tongue-in-cheek, and in my case, the actual, I feel like that's the best way to present how that name became a thing. But like, yeah, like my last name is Brown. So like I'm Aaron Brown, I'm a brown man whose last name is Brown. My like photo and consulting and creative work is Brown About Town because I'm constantly doing things. So the names have some relation to facets of me as much as it is a name that sounds great when you say it and looks good when you put it on a flyer or on a screen. So that's the way. It was a very intentional, that's the key word. It was a very intentional choice down to the spelling, which is easy across all the branding, and then the like way that it presents itself is like you're not expecting someone to be a southpaw. They come at you on the other side and you're used to expecting it to come from the primary side. So it's always going to be an adjustment to how you're coming to a thing that I'm doing or that I'm putting on or that I'm participating in.
Wow, man. And it really is a testament to what you said earlier about how you are super creative in your storytelling, and just the way you articulated that is super amazing. It gives you a lot of clear vision as to what kind of value you bring as a DJ. And I'm super excited. I definitely want to tune in to some of your events or parties once I get the opportunity. And yeah, I would love to jump into, you know, what are some things that you think are important skills and traits for DJs? A lot of people are trying to get better, they're trying to improve. What are some tactical things that they can do to be better as a DJ?
I think that's a lot of it can be done. There's things you can do in the pre-work, there's things you can do in the moment as a DJ, and there's things you can do reflecting and changing after the DJ. So let's go between those things. I think that before you even start really getting into it, or after you've started for a while and you're really kind of rethinking and reshaping how your approach is to it, I'm a big fan of manifestation. I tell people I lie to myself all the time that I can do stuff that I don't always think I can do, just to give myself the like the mental fortitude to be like, all right, whether it's good, bad, or ugly, I can do this and I'm gonna go and do it. And that's been the manifestation trick has really been a thing that I like, but it's also down to things like perspective. Like I have the perspective of an artist, of a fine artist, of a visual artist, of a creative, of a business person, of an entrepreneur, of a designer, even if it's not graphic, like an audit, like a sonic designer in the way that you work, and almost an engineer, if you will. So having those different perspectives to approach reflecting and seeing how you want to go about things is definitely a big part of it. I think that when it comes to being in the actual moment of being a DJ, there was a point where I used to think that more was good because I came up on, you know, like the Daft Punk and the Justice and coming up on Trap and coming up on a bunch of other things, and then really going settling back into house music specifically. I've kind of adopted a less is more principle. I'm one of those people that there's a couple of effects you'll hear on a track, there's a couple of, you know, beat slicing that you'll hear on it, but for the most part my goal is to blend the song so that you can't tell what song ended and what song began, but you'll feel the change when the songs go from A to B, and like that's how it works. And then after I'm done, I'm one of those people that doesn't record every set, but I definitely record most of my sets live or event or at home. And I'm constantly sending music to people. That's my big thing. It's like a lot of people in Baltimore know me as one of the young house heads that you should be wanting to talk to if you want to either get in the game, play a show, get the gems, or if you want music. I'll send someone 50 songs. Like, I don't care. It doesn't matter to me, because those songs are going to play different to you than they'll ever play to me, because we'll probably never mix them in the same way, even if you heard me do it. So that's the thing. It's like, I almost want to recontextualize gatekeeping as a positive thing. Like, I'm at the gate because I want all of you to get in, but I gotta make sure that when you're in, you act right. And if you're gonna act right, let me make sure that you do that, even if it means you don't get in the first try. It's like taking your driver's test. You don't always pass the first try, but once you get it, you usually got it. So, usually got it. But that's how I'd put it, is like, there's a lot of work that goes in before, there's a lot of work that gets done in the moment, and there's a lot of reflection and adjustment you can do after the fact. And it's a cycle. It's a constant cycle in the years that I've started doing it.
That's amazing, brother. And what I really like that you said, you spoke about gatekeeping, mm-hmm. and it seems like you are gatekeeping not to hold people back, but to ensure and improve their likelihood of success. Mm-hmm. And I love that, because not many people think like you. A lot of people, they have the gatekeeping mentality, but they're using it in unjust ways that are holding people back. And you flipped it around on its head, and you're using it as a way to increase your likelihood of success. And I think that you have a spirit of community where you are cultivating community in unique ways and really allowing people to have opportunities to help them thrive in so many different ways. And I'm just really impressed by the story you're telling right now. This is something that is super, you know, dear and near to my heart, where DJs are pouring out advice, pouring out opportunities, and are really helping a greater community than themselves. And you seem like you're really doing an awesome job at it. And I hope that more DJs hear and see your story and are inspired to do the same, because you're doing something important and you're changing the lives of many. And I'd love to talk about, you know, the most you know, recent years, you know, we're in COVID-19 right now, and it has completely disrupted the industry. You know, what are some things that COVID has done in your business, and how have you been able to navigate through this time?
So let's put it this way. When COVID happened, I went from being like, I'm also a full-time employee, like a full-time corporate employee. Like I do corporate creative work. So I got laid off. What was it? I moved to a different part of the city. Like a relationship ended, like a bunch of stuff happened. And then there was no release, and there was no income from that creative release. So a lot of it just became I sat and reflected. It's something I did almost a decade ago when I was 20 and the last major life shift happened. I just dipped back into that and spent time reflecting on myself, making sure that I was kind of sculpting myself in the way that I wanted to be, to keep myself sane, sustainable, whole, and positive for a lot of things. And then it just became all right, cool, pivot, move forward, dig your feet. I switched and I started producing film. Like I started producing short films for people and videos for people and commercial clients. I started consulting. I got back into shooting film. I pulled out my gear and I would just like mix for myself. I would just put headphones in like I started with, and I would, you know, play for 3, 4, 5 hours and just run through music and rinse it to see how it sounded and see if I liked it anymore, or what I didn't used to like and see if I liked it. And the biggest thing that I did was I tried streaming on terrible internet and that didn't work. And then I pivoted to going into production because I realized that was something that, as a lover of Boiler Room and Circle and Mixmag and all these other, you know, largely European and UK outfits that do recordings of video and audio, my thing became, well, why are we not doing that in the States? And who's doing that consistently? Not that that's not gonna, but where are these other pockets? And Baltimore doesn't do that. So I started tapping into all my people that I knew that did video production, asking for advice. And then I just said, you know, screw it, went out and started recording my own things for events that I was doing, because I started doing events during COVID that had nothing to do with people being in public. I went to the restaurants, I went to the industry that was also being affected, because those are my people and that's where I come from. And I immediately said, what can we do with the skills that we have and the product that you're providing to make everyone just have a little bit more money on the plate to keep themselves open? And I started a project with a friend called Kathleen, my friend Kathleen, called the Takeout Get Down. And for, this will be our third event, we just put on New Year's, Valentine's Day, and we have Earth Day coming up. Partnerships with vendors. We had, you know, Hennessy sponsored us. We have, you know, local grow up sponsoring us. We had investment from the community outside of music. And the goal was, we're going to give you a polished product. We're going to build out our actual list of what you're going to receive. And in turn, 1,000 people did something on New Year's. 500 people did Valentine's Day. We're going to go out and I'm going to record something live for some DJs. And we're going to hopefully get, you know, somewhere in the middle. But the whole thing is just, I didn't stop moving after I gave myself room to stop moving and grieve and like process. And that's what it was. And then also I just kept the manifestation of, this is going to pan out. This is going to move somewhere. And now it's been a year and I finally am like back in work again. I'm back into giving opportunities to people. The calendar is like getting booked, not just for gigs, but for like outreach and helping people. So now I'm like, I got to bring DJing and gigging back into it, but I'm also curating the things that I'm doing a little bit more to make sure that when people know that I'm stepping to something, there's a difference from what I'm participating in and what I've helped to set up, but it's the same level of quality. That's the end goal of what happened, is the quality got refined, but it can now exist when I'm involved and when I'm consulting for what needs to get done for somebody.
Wow, that's great, man. And you are a true visionary. And you see things and you're able to bring it into life. And I really like that about you, because there's not that many people out there that just have the vision and the confidence to see that vision through to completion. And you're doing an amazing job with everything that you got going on, and you're able to turn nothing into something very quickly. You know, how do you go about that? How do people take that ideal and go with it? What advice do you have for people that are hesitating to just take action and do the things that you're doing, or whatever their, you know, heart is pressing them to do?
Mm-hmm. So I did this the difficult way, and then I started doing it the easier way, because I did a lot of it by myself for a long time. Like, it's, I'm an only child, I'm used to being by myself, so I'm therefore used to like processing and functioning as an individual a lot of the time. So that's the hard way that I learned to do it. So the hard thing for me was learning to really dig into my own manifestation of, it does take a team. You can do it yourself, but it does take a team, and you have to get the right people that, you know, that both have their own vision and want to be a part of a greater vision at the same time. And you gotta butt heads, you gotta go through it, you gotta know that, I think two things to note. It's rarely ever going to be as good as you want it to be, but it's also rarely ever going to be as bad as you think it's going to be in comparison. There is a middle ground that is the wide part of the lane of failure and success, and that's just, you accomplished it. I am about accomplishing things. It doesn't matter if it's good, bad, or indifferent, because no one can take away the fact that I did it. I can always get better, and I'm gonna try and never get worse at it, but the onus of doing it, the saying that I did this and it actually got done, is better than most people will ever do. So that's a big piece of advice that I tell people, is like, you will accomplish it and you will beat yourself up over the quality of the accomplishment later, but stand strong in the fact that it got done. And that's the best takeaway. The other thing is, learn business acumen. Like, I don't watch cable. I don't watch, you know, I'm not big on streaming services outside of just, like, I'm big on YouTube. I'm watching video essays on film and art and, you know, pop theory. And I'm watching, you know, entrepreneurs go over in graphic design how to be entrepreneurs. And I'm like, okay, what gems from that apply to photography, applies to the greater creative conversation, applies to DJs. And then my business acumen. I'm big on people like, learn business acumen, because it will save you from having to backtrack a lot of what you've tried to do, and it'll clear up a lot of path of what you want to do. I think that a lot of it comes from learning things on the back end to make what you're doing as a singular entity, as a DJ in this case, a lot easier. Because I talk to venues the same way that I talk to vendors and sponsors when I'm working my other jobs, and that's like, what I have is great, what you have is great, we can be great together, and what do we need to do to get this great thing done? And so I've gotten stuff like 100% cuts of door in exchange for them getting all the bar sales, because I don't care about the bar getting packed as long as I can get 200 people in the door. That's my, you know, that's my like $400. That's my $500 right there that I can pay my artists out and pay my people out. And the bar thinks that they're getting, you know, the best thing ever, which is the bar, because that's what they care about, and everybody wins. Everybody eats, everybody compromises, everybody wins. And that's the way that I approach it, and that's the energy that I put into it, as you can see. And people like that energy. So when they find it, they bring you back and they ask you to do more. And that's how the gatekeeping gets done, is because I am the funnel in which they know it's at a quality that the people that want to pay you to do stuff are asking for. So position yourself, do that thinking, and that's a lot of it.
Wow, that is a lot of valuable information. I'm going to talk about a few of the things that I got out of that. So you talked about, you know, how do you move fast and how do you go far? And there's a quote that says, you know, if you want to move fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, go together. And you really hit that nail on the head for that. You also talked about, you know, how getting things done is much better than being perfect. Just ship things out, man. If you are able to go forward and just, you know, do your best, and whatever is your best, just go out there and do it with confidence. It's better than just hesitating and not putting out your product or the thing you're trying to do at all. Then you also said, you know, learn business practices, understand how business works, and then use it in various industries that you're trying to have impact in. And then also just have a winner's mentality where everyone is going to win, and that allows everyone to move in the same direction and everyone to get value out of the situation and the things that you're trying to work on. And brother, this has been an amazing interview, man. I've learned a lot. I'm inspired by you, man. I'm pumped. And I think that our audience and the listeners of this podcast are going to be super excited to connect with you and just follow your journey and learn from you even more. You know, do you have anything else you want to say in regards to advice for the people before we jump into the lightning round?
Honestly, nah, I think we covered pretty much everything. That's enough nuggets right there for everyone to chew on real quick.
Awesome, brother. Let's jump right into the lightning round. You ready?
Hit me.
Describe your DJ setup, hardware and software.
All right, hardware setup. I just finally locked in what I think is going to be my long-term setup. I am now a record box. I'm a Pioneer guy. I have an XDJ. That's the setup that I use. I went from laptop and tractor to XDJ. So I'm Pioneer top to bottom now.
Besides yourself, who's your favorite DJ?
Ooh, I would have to, that's a lot of people. So I'll say a few of them. And they're all pretty much based out here in Baltimore. My boy DJ Sun, Jason Noble, he's from here. He spent a lot of time in Philly. My boy Arjun goes by Aviate. My friend Kevin, who goes by Kevin Naduro, he goes by his name, which is super hard. DJ Flegg, I love DJ Flegg. That's actually a Red Bull BC1, like a break DJ. That's a big more renowned guy. I love rock, like DJ Impulse, DJ Excel. If I gotta go big names, obviously going Daft Punk, RIP to the greats, gone but never forgotten. And let's see, who's a good female DJ? Oh, my homegirl Jeannie, one of my favorite female DJs in the city, like hands down. She's a big house head, big techno head. I love her to death. But that's a few of them. I'll give a few of them from there.
What has been your favorite party or event you've DJed at and why?
Ooh, it's a tie between the Brooklyn Rooftop, because that was the first time I felt like we really had gotten somewhere. And it's also, the first time we got the biggest room in the Crown. I would have to say that was one of my favorite nights the night before that, where we had the last in the middle-sized room with a friend of mine had an album release party, and we stole all the people from the album release party for about 2 hours before they went back over for his set. That's probably one of my greatest feelings, is like getting that to a point where you can grab people from another room to come out and hang out with you for a little bit.
Who's the most interesting person you've met through DJing?
Ooh, let's see. Most interesting person I've met through DJing. Probably, I'll say one of them. My boy, Brandon Dixon. He goes by Out of Office. He's out in New York right now. But that's someone that we worked retail together. He worked at Urban Outfitters when I was at Apple. He wound up like moving to New York and got to work for like Complex and High Snob and like a bunch of stuff. And he's like really accomplished. But it's beautiful to see another Black male DJ that's a little bit on the weirder side. Like they have their own kind of style and their own personality that you grow to love and become closer with the older you get, to where you realize you're almost kind of the same person in a lot of key aspects. So he is definitely one where it's like talking to an inverted reflection of myself in a lot of ways. So he's definitely one of them.
What's one thing that you think is missing from live streaming for DJs?
Production value. I think production value is the best way to put it, and it's not all their fault. I think that it's a mindset for the production quality as much as the content being produced that is missing from a lot of large streaming based on accessibility to the production value.
And shout out to DJs you know personally whose story needs to be shared on this podcast.
I want to say someone that definitely needs to get shout out is my boy Kay, goes by Be More Alien. That's one of my like African brothers that's in the city that puts on as hard, if not harder, for me. 808s and Sound Boys. This is like a well-read, well-respected member of our community, and he deserves all of his roses, all of the shine possible. So, yo, Kay, Be More Alien. You're my guy. I love you.
Yeah, and we hope to hear his story on the podcast one day. And any DJs interested in being on the show can sign up at djsignup.com. And brother, where can people find you online or even in person if you're still doing events?
So I haven't done too many events now, but now that we're getting warmer in the city, we'll be doing stuff probably all around the city at hotels like Hotel Revival, spots like Good Neighbor out here. We may start doing benefit streams to some of the other spots in the city. But I am Southpaw on everything, SOV as in Victor, THPAW, like a bear paw. And you can find that on SoundCloud. Hit me on SoundCloud for that. And it's a picture, it's a red picture with my face all animated on it. My Instagram, my YouTube, all my stuff is on there. And also, best way to find me also is my website, brownabouttown.com. Brown like the color, about like you're somewhere, TOWNE like you're British.com.
Awesome. This has been an amazing interview, man. And I'm super excited to watch you on your journey. Everyone, please check out Southpaw. He's doing an amazing job. And we'd love to stay in touch and connect with you in the future, man.
It was a pleasure. Thank you for the time.